Well, if you turn in your Bibles with me tonight, we want to go to a very unusual time tonight. Luke chapter 23, verse 39 and 43. And I'd like to read the scripture, if you do have it. Are we okay back there? Did we get all the notes and everything's fine? We've had trouble with our... What do you call that thing? Not the computer. It's a program, I guess. The program went nuts. China was trying to infiltrate our system. Russians and the Arab world. But we've been praying night and day. So we're going to get up there. There's a new guy back there. He's bald. You want to mention his name? Everybody likes that name, Bald. He's not necessarily bald. He's got a number of jobs here. He's actually one of our board members. You got to watch him. He might get at you. Okay, so Luke 23, 39. You're going to have to put 39 there to 40, I guess, afterwards. Am I in the right verse? Did I give you the right verse of scripture here? Okay. 39. Okay, give me 43. Sorry. Give me 43. The Lord changed his mind here. He's moving fast. So you might... Okay, then we're going to start all over again. Let's go ahead and pray again. Did we pray yet, or did we not pray? Did we pray? We could pray again. I mean, you see, this is why it's not working. See? See, I came in here, and somebody was walking up the stairs before me. They said, "We beat you." See, there's something wrong. So anyway, I had a nap, so I'm just waking up. So I heard we're going to the chicken house tonight. We haven't been there for many, many years. And let's go ahead and pray. Father, I thank you tonight for your love and kindness and your tender mercies. You're a faithful God. We thank you for all the strength that you've given us to do the jobs that we're doing. You're so faithful to your word. And so, Father, I'm asking, give us revelation knowledge. And we pray for every single person in this room that they'll have knowledge beyond their ears, because the Holy Spirit in their lives, inside of them, is so great with revelation, giving them knowledge and giving them discernment and showing them how to conduct their lives and helping them to be fruitful in their lives, productive people, very valiant and strong. And inside of them, they have fruits of the Spirit that are growing every day. Their character is reflective of Jesus, and that people admire them. So I want to thank you, Father, for the privilege of being a child of God. We're born again, filled with the Spirit, and victorious in Christ. We praise you and thank you for this opportunity again to hear the Word of God. And in advance, we praise you because what it will do for us. In Jesus' name, amen. So Luke chapter 23 and verse 43, and let's go ahead and read that scripture. And I'm going to tell you where we're going to go next. He said, Jesus said, "I assure you, today you will be with me in paradise." And I want to talk to you about today you will be with me in paradise. And in the spirit realm, there's no time realm. But in this natural life, we have a time realm. And on the other side, there's no time frame. Everything is eternal. And once you get over this side, from this side to the other side, there's no such thing as time. We live in a time, conditioned situation in our lives. And so I want to talk to you tonight about paradise, about being in paradise. What happens, the question is, what happens when you die? And I know you probably never had this scripture, this word on a Wednesday night before in your life. And so Here's my goal. Here's my proposition tonight. Death is not the end. Death is not the end. And it's the beginning of something really wonderful. And Jesus told the man there, the thief, today you will be with me in paradise. So many people have no idea about what happens after death when they die. They don't know what happens when their loved one dies. And I don't know about you, but I grew up in a religious world where death was such a, you know, a mystery, great mystery. And they never taught us about dying when we were kids. And when I was a child, they brought our loved ones, our dead loved ones, into our homes. And we would stay with those bodies for maybe up to 3 days. I don't know if anybody ever had that opportunity. How many of you want to have that opportunity soon, no? But and then we were told a lot of things about, you know, Halloween and funny stories about dying and what happens to people and scary things. And so we were afraid. When my grandfather died, my cousin and I, we went to visit my grandmother just left a couple doors over. And we went over there and saw my grandpa in there and saw my cousins who were raised up by my grandfather, because we had extended family living together. We had different kinds of life situations. Extended family lived with one another. And saw them crying. And at that point, I was kind of laughing because I didn't know how to handle my emotions. And so it made an impression on me. I saw my cousin lost a loved one, a young baby, born in stillbirth. Or actually, it wasn't stillbirth. It was, you know, when a baby dies in a crib, they call it crib death. I saw that little baby in there as a boy. It made an impression on me. And when I was just a teenager, a friend of mine died next door to me. He had drowned. It did something in me. It gave me anxiety. I didn't know what it was. I was a religious boy. I had different ideas about dying. I was afraid of it. And I was afraid of dead bodies. And in our culture, we had all kinds of funny stories about dead bodies and so on. And we were afraid. And so I grew up with some sort of warped idea about dying. But it's when I came to church, when I began to delve into the Word of God myself and search the Scriptures. Now, I've been a Christian for many years, and I've been married to my wife almost 38 years. And almost the same time as we've been in together, we've been in ministry. We were married, and we went right into children's ministry pastoring, or pastoring as a youth pastor. And we worked in the ministry all that time. It was never without ministry. I was, did the ushering. I did whatever. I did prayer every morning. We got up in the morning early. We prayed. And in fact, we were living on the other side of town in Fort William. We traveled all the way here, I remember, to your friend's house. And we'd get up in the morning. We'd pray for an hour from 7 o'clock in the morning with this young lady here. And so... So I'd done a lot of things in ministry. Traveled. I traveled as an evangelist. I mean, it's not my testimony, but I'm telling you some of it. And I was up north, working up north. I worked for the Children's Aid Society, but on a part-time basis, I worked as an evangelist. Traveled to different reserves in the north where I was, in the Kenora area, and I traveled and I drove with my own money. I had a guitar. And I sang and I preached the gospel. No one asked me to. No pastor asked me to. No church asked me to do. I did it on my own. I was just a young man. Somehow I had ministry on my heart. And after all these years, I'm still in ministry. And so thank God for what God puts in your heart. You know, if you want to do ministry, don't wait for pastor to ask you. You go ahead and step out. Find something to do. Amen. And so I'd go to the hospitals. When I was there, I'd go to the mental health places, the detox centers. I went there and talked to people. I didn't wait for no church to ask me to do it. I went and did it myself. No one asked me to do it. So I find it funny when people say they don't have nothing to do. You got plenty to do. And you don't have to wait for me to tell you or this church to develop something. So you don't have an excuse. Everyone here has a ministry of reconciliation. The Bible says 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18 and 19, every one of us have the ministry of reconciliation, telling people that God loves them, that he wants them saved. Not to tell them they're going to hell, but tell them that God's forgiven them and that he loves them. So we're not going to get too many people saved by telling them God's mad at them. But it's the goodness of God will bring people to Jesus. You know, so I saw on my phone that somebody said there on their phone today, and while I was on the reserve, they said the church leaders should build up an army of Christians instead of entertaining people. Well, you know, if they come to church, we can train them if they would come regularly. And we have a regular training program. In fact, we had one last night, Sunday night. And all of you have to be there. You have to be there. You can't just be on your own. We want you to be there. Now, some of you have jobs and do different things. And so sometimes we'll do entertain, make people laugh, but not all the time. And I think they're referring to people who just play guitars all night long and have 5 minutes of teaching. But we want to, in this church, we spend more time on the Word. Brother Hagin says, you know, what's your main function is to teach the word. And so that's what we're doing. So anyways, that part is not in my word here, but it's for free. I won't ask you for any money about it. I'm not asking for extra, but it's free. So people have no idea what happens to them and what happens at death. They don't have an idea. Some people are afraid. It's a mystery. It's not something we talk about regularly, kind of a morbid subject, you know, death. I was beginning to tell you that I've been in ministry for those many years, and I've done so many funerals. I've done people who've died early, too young, suicides. I've done people who've died through addictions. I've done old people. I've done young people. I've done Christians. I've done people who've never had an idea about being born again, and I've done many kinds of funerals. The best kind of funeral is when a person has born again, and all the people love Jesus, and they can rejoice. Hallelujah, amen. So don't be so sad about this message tonight, because it's going to get happy. I promise you. And so there's three kinds of death that you and I need to recognize. First of all, There's physical death, which I'm going to talk about just a little bit. Physical death is when the spirit of man departs from the physical body of man. Cessation of the life happens when the spirit leaves the body, and James talks about that. The spirit, the body is dead without the spirit. And by the way, the word spirit in the Bible means breath. Breath. The Bible says that God breathed into man the breath of life. Gave him life and gave him personality. There's another death called spiritual death. That's before you knew Jesus. You were dead. You were a spirit being, but you're dead. Ephesians 2:2 talks about it, that you were separated one time from God, but when Jesus showed up in your life, you became alive. Your spirit became alive. And so it's just that you were separated from God because of your sin. Then there's a third death that we should recognize. The third death is when, at the end of the world, when people die, if you don't know Jesus, it says that you go either heaven or hell. When someone knows Jesus, they go to heaven. When someone doesn't know Jesus, they absolutely refuse Jesus, they go to hell. That's what the Bible says. Now, I'm not going to argue about that, because I'm telling you what it says in there. Jesus talked about it. And so they go there. They go to a place called hell. But one day, everybody say one day, all the spirits that went into hell will be thrown to the lake of fire, which is called eternal death. But you, my friend, that are born again, never have to be afraid of that, because you're already saved. You'll never have to worry about that death. You'll go to the judgment seat of Christ instead of the white throne judgment. Amen? Amen. So every one of you, if you should die, you'd have a good time. But not everybody that's left you. So let me just talk to you, first of all, in Luke 23, verse 39 to 43, I'm going to read the New Living Translation. There's a story here about a man, a criminal, at his dying day. And no one likes to think about their own dying day, but we have to at some point, because all of us are going to die. Hebrews says, one day we will all die. But not now. We want to live long. Amen? We're believing to live long and strong. And so I taught you that last time. And one of the criminals hanging beside him, that's beside Jesus, scoffed. So you're a Messiah, are you? Prove it by saving yourselves and us too, while you're at it. But the other criminal protested, don't you fear God even when you have been sentenced to die? So he had a conscience, this guy. We deserve to die for our crimes, but this man hasn't done anything wrong. Then he said, Jesus, the man says, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus replied, I assure you today. That's a good promise, isn't it? I guarantee you today. Today, you will be with me in paradise. Let me just give you some insight here. You know, death is not final. We know this man is going to die physically, but he's going somewhere with Jesus. He said he's going to paradise with Jesus. If you think about paradise, if you just figure it out yourself, what is paradise? What does paradise look like? Just kind of, you know, even if you got a regular dictionary, just think about it, look at it, and you'll see. You don't need the Greek to tell you what paradise is. It's a wonderful place. They drink juice all day and eat pineapples, marshmallows. Your teeth never get rot. And you have a great time. And you'll enjoy yourself. So, you know, Jesus one time told this is something else to talk about. You know, this man, today you'll be with me in paradise. Jesus went to his friend's funeral, or actually his friend's home. The man, his name is Lazarus. And Lazarus passed away. He died. And Jesus waited 3 days before he got there. And the sisters told Jesus, Jesus, if you were here, my brother wouldn't have died, because I know you could raise him from the dead. They had great faith in Jesus. Jesus told one of the women there, he said, I am the resurrection and the life. Aren't you glad? Anyone who believes in me will live even after dying. Isn't that wonderful that when you die, you still live? But you'll be living somewhere else. The Bible says we go to Father's house. Amen? And verse 26 says, anyone who lives in me and believes in me will never die. Well, he's not talking about physically dying. He's talking about spiritual dying. If you die physically, you'll never die. In other words, death is not the end. He says when your physical body dies, you'll be in the very presence of Jesus, enjoying yourself. That's wonderful, isn't it? I know everybody's not that happy, but I know I'm telling you, you never heard this on a Wednesday night. Glory to God. And he says, do you believe this, Martha? Martha needed to believe that. And so he's saying there, death is not the end. That if your loved one died and they believe in Jesus, you, my brother and sister, will see them again. Hallelujah. Amen? I can hardly wait to see my mama. Amen. To see my dad. You know, I was not close to my dad. I didn't have a lot of affection for my dad. I wasn't close to my dad. I don't know, some people are close to their dads, but I wasn't. You know, my dad was separated from us for many years. You know, when you're not close to someone physically, or just grow up with someone, you're not close to them. You don't feel the same, even though they're your flesh and blood. Sometimes I feel more closer to my Christian friends than I do with my own relatives. That's because of the relationship. and because they're born again. And some people are more my brothers. That's what Jesus said. Where's my brother and my mother? You are my brother and my mother because you got closer to them. Now, it doesn't mean that, I'm sure I'll be happy to see my dad. And I love my mom so much. Everybody loves their mom. You know, if you're not don't love your mom, you're not normal. You need healing. Amen. So, praise God. But anyway, let me read you something else. So Jesus said, twice now, that there's a place after death. It's a wonderful place. Paradise. We'll talk about that in a sec. But let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 and 14. Now, these people were worried about what happened to my loved one who died. I'm concerned about them. And so Paul wrote a letter to the Thessalonians because they thought they had all these ideas about dying and, you know, about the second coming of Jesus already happened. And even today, people don't understand the timeline about the second coming of Jesus. They think, you know, the second coming of Jesus is going to happen any time. But it's not. No. The rapture is going to happen first. The rapture is happening first. And then the second coming. And so, but we're ready. How many of you are ready? Jesus shows up today. You're ready to go? Leave all your stuff here? You know? If you knew when Jesus was coming, you'd probably buy a brand new car today. He said, leave it for the devil. Let him pay for it. So now, dear brothers and sisters, verse 13, we want you to know, well, he wants you to know something. What will happen to believers who have died? So that you will not grieve like people who have no hope. You know, there are people who are grieving. Their loved one is dead. I have people who just, they don't have the faith that we have, and they're just grieving horribly. You know, God can only heal that. And when you lose someone, and that's bad enough if someone is your Christian brother or sister, your mother or whatever, and they die and you're grieving, you're going to miss them. But if you think it like God thinks and have the mind of God, you know it's going to be a short time. And you'll see them soon. And so grieving is a horrible situation where you're just having a lot of pain because you miss somebody. And he says, but we're not going to grieve like those who have no hope. We have hope. When you got God, you got hope. And that hope is that you're going to see your loved one again. You will see the ones who's gone before you. And I don't hear any amens coming up here because you need to understand. I'm telling you, this. You need to hear this. Because some of you don't know about this. You got to, you know, I teach this all the time. I go to funerals and talk to different ones and people who need help in this area. And they need encouragement. And so do you. You need to hear this message so you can tell somebody else about these things. So he says, verse 14 says, since we believe that Jesus died and was raised to life again, we also believe that when Jesus returns, God will bring back with him the believers who have died. So they're alive. But they're not in this realm. But you'll see them again. Glory to God. So grieving is normal. It's a sorrow. But it's not the end. There's hope beyond the grave. And we have hope to see one day our loved ones who have passed from this life. And let's go back to the criminal for a second. This guy who was dying beside Jesus, he made it to heaven by faith. He put his trust and reliance on Jesus. And this man didn't have time to earn his way into the kingdom of God. He didn't have time to do good works. He didn't have time to do some intercession and prayer. And he didn't go around, you know, selling cookies and for the, you know, scouts or whatever he's doing. He didn't have anything to do, any good works, didn't raise any funds for TC, didn't do any Spirit of Life fundraising. I mean, he didn't do anything. He's a criminal. And, you know, as a Christian, as a young religious Christian boy, I was not born again, I was religious. I was in a church. They said, you got to have your last rites if you're dying. If you don't have your last rites, that's it for you. You better call the priest to come over to your house or to every loved ones. And they have to administer last rites or you're not going to make it. And I was so frightened about that so many times. And, you know, what if I don't have the last rites? And that's it for me. So I had all these religious ideas. And so this man here on the cross, he didn't have time to have his last rites. He didn't have time to go to catechism classes and Bible, Bible church or any kind of training. He didn't have to go to faith lessons. He didn't get baptized. He didn't attend church. He didn't belong to a ministry helps leadership program. He didn't belong to any religious denomination. He didn't have time to confess all of his sins. He didn't have time to talk to a priest. He didn't have time to go to an elder. He didn't have to have time to do any smudging. He didn't have time to have any holy water splash on him. He didn't have time to do all these religious things that we think is going to help us to get to heaven. In fact, he broke all the laws and he was condemned to die. But Jesus told him, today you'll be with me in paradise. That gives me so much comfort because I have felt relatives that I knew who had been away from God and died while they were out there. They were drunk. I had a brother who was born again. Him and I traveled in ministry. We prayed together, my brother and I. We drove to Tulsa, took him to Tulsa. I saw him get filled with the Spirit. And he got filled and he went to church. And he got back out there among the drug and all the alcohol. And his own son beat him to death one time and he died. And I was at home one night, coming home from skating with our youth over here at Grandview, and the phone rang, and the police said, "Yeah, so and so, your brother passed away." My brother was an alcoholic; he was a drug addict, and he was into all kinds of stuff, and he died. And that pained me so much. And even though as a pastor, I didn't have any answers. Now, you don't always have answers right away, but you always have hope if you got God. My sister was born again, Spirit-filled, spoke in tongues. She got away from God and died during an episode after she had a seizure. I'm not sure what kind of drugs she had, but she died in my father's house. And she was brain dead. They took her to the hospital. I think she lived 6 months while I was away on a missions trip. And while I was there, she died. I felt bad. And I cried. And I just said, "Lord, how, you know, what happened to them? Are they in heaven? Where are they?" And I suffered emotionally because I don't know where they are now. And I carry that. And when I hear people talk about people like that, that said, "Oh, they're condemned to die," I look at my Bible, that the Bible says in chapter 5 that there's people who are drunkards. It's similar to a drug addict. It's the same thing. That this is called the works of the flesh. They're not possessed by the devil. It's the work of the flesh. And they condemn them all to die. They're all in hell now. But you know, God is more wonderful than any other preacher that I know. And he's more loving than any other religious denomination that I know. God is so wonderful. And I put my trust in God. That maybe like this man here, he didn't have the time to do all the repenting. Maybe there's a time. I heard Brother Hagin's story. He was 17 years old. He's dying. He's going to hell. He went to hell 3 times. He was just going to get in there. The devil was going to grab him. He heard somebody call his name, and he's sucked back out of hell. And he went into, come back up. He said when he was going down to hell, he said, "God, I've been baptized in water." He kept going down, down, down. He said the blackness is so thick. Just like the book says in Genesis, the darkness was so thick in Egypt, you could even touch it. It was so dark. And so he says, "I've been baptized. I belong to church. I've been in church." He kept going down, down, down. You see, good works, getting baptized, is not going to save you. It's believing in Jesus that saves you. Believing in his loving kindness and tender mercies, that's going to save you. And so we need to have our faith in the right place. And so I think about those people. I've suffered through it, and maybe a lot of you have as well, that you had loved ones who have died during a drug episode. Maybe I was told when I was a kid that if you committed suicide, you go directly to hell. And I've known people who've done that. But that's not the way it is, isn't it? And we know that God is loving. He's kind. Not telling, giving you any license to go and get drunk tonight. I know we're going to the chicken house tonight. We're not going to drink any beer. But we need a lot of chicken. A lot of chicken will be flying around tonight. Bones be flying everywhere. And so we're going to eat until we're full. We're going to gorge ourselves. And then we'll repent. So some of us have a lot of crazy ideas about these, and it disturbs you because you don't have any answers. And God wants you to be comforted tonight. He wants you to know that He loves you. And He's concerned about you. And all those people who went before you. I asked the Lord, I said, what about my ancestors? They never heard about Jesus. They never heard about Jesus. They've died. I had grandpas, great-grandpas. They never heard about Jesus back then. But I read in the book of Romans, you think about it, that Abraham never really heard about Jesus. Doesn't say in the Bible, but God promised something. But the man had faith in God, and he got born again. He's called a faith man. There's people. He was considered righteous before he got the sign of righteousness through, the cutting of the flesh, the circumcision. So he was counted faith, a faith person. There's a lot of people who, because of their conscience, have some kind of conscience towards God. You're going to see them there. They have a conscience of God. And it's better never to hear the gospel, and just reject it and say flat out reject it and not ever hear about it, but follow your conscience. Praise God. I'm not afraid to talk about this. I've been a professional in doing this stuff. I've done this for so many years, talking about this to people, ministering to people who have died, who their loved ones is dead, and they're suffering. I do it sometimes a weekly basis, monthly basis. Many, many times I go to people and talk to them about stuff like this. And you feel so helpless at times because you yourself, you have to depend on God to help you. So I've been in these situations. So what happens when we die? Well, we return to God. We return to whom we were made. The Bible says, first of all, in Genesis 2:7-8, New Living says, the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground, and he breathed the breath of life into his nostrils. And man became a living person. Then the Lord God planted the garden of Eden in the east, and he placed man in it that he had made. Here, over here, it says that we were made from the dust of the earth. And God gave us spirit. He breathed into our life the breath of life. He gave us spirit. Each one of us has God in us. I got up in the morning. I get up in the morning. I said to myself, that God lives in me. The God who created the universe lives inside of me. The Holy Spirit lives in me. Jesus lives inside of me. God the Father lives in me. Wherever I go, He goes. God is everywhere. He's omnipresent. He knows all things. And He's all powerful. And so when I worship Him in the morning, Lord God, I want to thank You. You're all-powerful God. All things are possible for You. And I'm looking to You today again for salvation. Ecclesiastes 12:7 says, from the dust of will return to the earth, then the spirit will return to God who gave it. So when you die, somehow your body will return to the dust that it was made out of. And one day, if you read in the Bible says, you can find it in different scriptures, you see one day, over in the book of Romans, that God will recreate your body and give you a brand new body. You look at 1 Corinthians 15, it tells you one day, in the twinkling of an eye, if you're here, and you have a body and Jesus appears, your body will turn into a spiritual being. You'll have a brand new body. Thank God for that, right? And your body goes back. Paul said there when he dies, Philippians chapter 2, chapter 1, verse 23, the last section is it, to be with Christ would be far better. I can tell you right now that someone who died is a born-again Christian, you crying for them, they don't want to come back here. I can tell you for sure, my mother who died, she went to heaven, she came back. You know, Paul, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians that he died and he went to heaven. He says it's paradise. He called the third heaven paradise, just like Jesus called heaven paradise. It's a wonderful place. Glory to God. How many of you want to go there? Some people say, I remember when Brother Higgin was telling a story about that. How many of you want to go to heaven? And people raised their hand, and one guy didn't. And the evangelist says, do you want to go to heaven? Why don't you raise your hand? He said, well, I thought you guys were going tonight. He said, I want to hang around here for a while. I want to live some more, eat some chicken. So you know, we want to live long, right? Me, I didn't want Jesus to show up. I was, you know, selfish because I want to marry my wife, have sex when I was a kid. And I didn't want to, you know, I want to be born again. All right, I want Jesus to come back, but not right now. I was not married yet. I want a wife, and, you know, I want to enjoy sex because that's what I thought it was good about, right? So anyways, now I want Jesus to come back. Cheat you out of it, eh? So you wake people up when you talk about sex, so yeah. He said, I'm torn between two, desire to long to be with Christ, which is far better. He said, I want to be with the church, but I also want to be with Jesus, which is far better. Everybody say far better. Say far better. Say far better. See, to rather than if you're here, it's not as good as over there. So you know when your loved one is, you can go to bed tonight, they're in a far better place than you are. So when my mom died, she come back, she said to me, son, I did not want to come back. I came back, I was in that hospital bed, my spirit came back from heaven, and I jumped right back into my body in the hospital bed. She said, oh, it's so wonderful. He said, I'm not afraid to die, she said to me. And she said, it's better, it's so wonderful, it's such a beautiful feeling in heaven. And, I know we cry for our loved ones, but they're enjoying every second, as we can say right now. Praise God. Doesn't that comfort you to know? You know, what comforts me is a criminal. One time a criminal would have comforted me when he's dying, right? And that he never had all that opportunity to work his way through heaven. But it's on faith alone, on God's grace, that he made it to heaven. And the hope is there. So when I think about my loved ones who slip back, you know, and I think there's got to be an opportunity. I'm praying that they call on you. And then they went to heaven in there. So that's my hope. I'm expecting to see them. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. And my brother, I took up. We went to Tulsa. And you know, he spoke with tongues. And, you know, I found out later on that my brother was abused sexually and he couldn't get over it. And he used alcohol and drugs to comfort himself. He just could not seem to get over it. And then we just look at him like, you know, why can't you stop drinking? You know, me, I never had nobody abuse me. I never had anything like that. I was into all these schools. And they said, did the nuns abuse you? No, there had no nun abuse me. Did a priest? No. Anybody abuse you? No. Well, I had one man tell me, went back home, and he asked me, sir, do you got any cigarettes? I said, no, I don't smoke at all. He asked me first, you got a match? I said, no. You got any smokes? I said, no, I don't smoke. He said, do you ever go to dances? I said, never. I don't go to dances, no. Do you have a girlfriend? Do you ever fool around? I said, no, I don't. Then he said to me, why are you living then? It is all his life was about all that stuff, eh? So there's more to life than smoking cigarettes and stuff, you know? But it was kind of funny when he told me that. But he's dead now. So to be with God is, to die is to be with God. To die is to be with God, and it's a better place. Psalm 144, verse 3 and 4. We got 1 minute. O Lord, what are human beings that you should notice them, mere mortals that you should think about them? For they are like the breath of air, their days are like a passing shadow. Let's go to another scripture. Psalm 103, verse 15 and 16. Our days on earth are like grass, like a wildflower. We bloom and die. The winds blow and we're gone as though we had never been here. You know, some people live like they're never going to die. Just party up all day, steal, lie. They're born again. Don't care. And they're, or they just live for themselves, knowing, never thinking that they're going to have to answer to God. And it's brief. Our life is so brief. The Bible says, and science tells us we have at least 70, 80 years. If you look at statistics, it tells you men have a little bit less than women. Women live longer, they say, because men take too many chances. They die early, fall off a ladder or something like that, and put their hand in the socket or whatever, and they die earlier. And that's what happens to people. Women live a little bit longer, about 3 days maybe. three years maybe. They live a little bit longer than that, right? So my dad, you know, my mother died, was 59, my mom died. My dad died when he was almost 83 years old. So he waited a long time. He used to tell me, he says, Roma, how am I going to find mom up there in heaven? I said, oh, they'll find you. They say, I know people who've died, went up there, they said, oh, somebody's coming, they're coming. They'll get all excited because they tell us statistically, someone dies every so many seconds in the world. Ding, 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 somebody comes in. That are coming in. So our days here are brief compared to eternity. The Bible says, and the Psalm says, that we live here for a short time. James 4:14 says, what is your life? It's like a vapor of smoke that appears for a time and then vanishes away. That's a short time with our life compared to eternity. And our lifespan is 70 to 80 years for everybody. Guaranteed, if you live right, don't smoke and don't jump off high walls and stuff, you can live long, at least 70, 80 years, right? And the Bible says that we can live over here. Psalm 90, verse 10, is that 70 years are given to some of us even to live to 80 years. That's what the Bible says. Just that's for everybody, whether you're born again or not. You're going to live that long. That's what if you live, you'll get into accidents and stuff. So you're at least that, and the scriptures tells us later on that the man's days will be up to 120 in Genesis chapter 6. You live up to 120. That's a long life. So we're promised that one day that we will all be in paradise. There's joy and happiness in there. There's no pain. There's no fear, no enemies, nothing to battle, nothing to fight. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 2 to 4, he says, I was caught up to the third heaven. Everybody say, third heaven. Amen. He talks about three kinds of heavens. There's heaven above us, you know, where the atmosphere is, and then there's another heaven where demonic spirits are flowing. They're trying to rule and reign over here in this space. You look and read in Corinthians, then there's a third heaven where God is. He says, I caught up to the third heaven 14 years ago, whether I was in my body or out of my body, I do not know. In other words, when he died, some theologian says, this happened when they stoned him to death in the book of Acts. And he died, he went up. This scripture here, he went up to heaven. In fact, a friend of mine says so-and-so died, and they saw Paul up there. Paul is just a regular guy up there. Nobody is like, look at who's there. Oh, there's David over there. No, everybody's the same, but they have a certain status, but everybody's the same. And so the third heaven, yes, I know. He said, I don't even know. So when my mom died, she said, I didn't know if I was in my body or out of my body. But when I got to my body, I knew who was in my body because it hurt. You know? So Paul said, I don't know if I went there with my spirit or if God took me totally with my whole body. So if you died, you won't even know. You won't know the difference. Like, oh, I'm dead. Am I dead? You know? It's not going to hurt you. It's like Brother Higgins said, when he died, it was like a glove, a hand coming out of a glove. I just came out of it, and I went. And so if you were to die, you know, I talked to one lady. She said to me, I was my mom and I were walking across Memorial Avenue, and a car came by and hit me, bang. I went up, I flew up in the air, and I died, and my spirit went up. I say, I saw myself down there. And he said, later I came back to my body. Hit him so hard, his spirit left. So, God knows whether I was in my body or outside of my body, but I do not know. Verse 4, I was caught up to paradise. So, paradise, third heaven, are the same thing. I heard things that are so astounding that they cannot be expressed in words. In other words, you can't explain to someone if you went to heaven, you could not explain. The prophets tried to explain when they saw heaven, heavenly beings. They cannot explain it. There's no words to describe what it's like. Paul called heaven the paradise. He can't explain it in human terms. Jesus said in John 14:1-4, he said, don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust in me. There's more than enough room in my Father's home. So when you die, you go to Father's home. If it were not so, I would have told you, I'm going to prepare a place before you. Everything is ready. When everything is ready, I will come and get you. He's talking about the second coming. He's talking there to the Jewish people. But we can relate to it. But this is not talking about, when Jesus comes up in the air. It's not talking about the rapture. This is the second coming. He said, I'm going to come back for you. Is Jesus coming back? Yes, he is. So, he said, you know the way. So how do we get there? Jesus said, again, I'm the resurrection and life. If you die, you'll always be with me. Where I am, you'll always be there with me. You'll never, ever be departed from God. God's always there for you. We cannot do it by works. We cannot save ourselves by doing good things. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9 says, God saved us, saved you by grace when you believed. And you can't get credit for this. It's a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it. The guy on the cross, the thief on the cross, he couldn't work for it, just like it says here. It's like you cannot work your way to heaven. The only way you get to heaven is put your trust in God through Jesus Christ and what he's done for you. Accept the fact that God has saved you. Paul said, I was zealous so much for my religion one day. He says, I did everything wonderful. I was the highest level of black belt in what are those guys that call those? They're Pharisees anyway. He says in verse 9, Philippians chapter 3, verse 9, he said, I no longer call my own righteousness through obeying the law, rather I become righteous through faith in Jesus Christ. For God's way of making us right with himself depends on faith. That's why the man, the criminal, he put his trust in God. Simple trust. Jesus, I trust you for my salvation. That's the only way you're going to get to heaven. Last scripture, Ephesians 2:8. God saved you by his grace when you believed. You can't take credit for it. It's a gift of God. Let's go ahead and stand up. Hallelujah. The thief on the cross. Today, you'll be with me in paradise. So you'll never have to fear of dying because it's far better. We don't want to go early yet. We want to live. We've got lots of work to do. And there's things we want to do. Praise God. Amen. You want to buy a car? Still. Amen. Eat some more chicken. Travel to Spain or wherever you want to go and do wonderful things. Praise God. Amen. Let's go ahead and pray. Everybody bow your head. Father, I pray for all my family and friends here in the name of Jesus. I pray that they are fully aware that if they should die at any time because they put their faith in Jesus, they have no fear that heaven will be their home. They don't have to work for it like the thief on the cross. They don't have to earn anything. They don't have to get baptized to get to heaven. They don't have to pray, do good works, and give money and do all those things. But they just simply say, Jesus, I believe you're the Savior of the world. Be my Savior. Be my Lord. And I'll live with you for the rest of my life. If I should die, I will not die, but I'll still live on from this life. And one day you'll give me a brand new body, a spiritual body, just like you have. We give you praise for all that's there tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.